I don't believe the church or the state or anything they tell me. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and to all the freedom-loving Christians and patriots all across this grand republic and around the world, we bid you welcome this evening to another hour of the Flip Side. I'm your host for the evening, Jeffrey Bennett, as Robbie's out taking care of some necessary personal business tonight. I'll be sitting in this chair for tonight and tomorrow night, so I certainly hope you'll stay with us for commentary on a range of issues. I actually have tonight and tomorrow night's program pretty well in the bag and ready to go, but before we get to the first break, let's cover some quick market conditions for the day. One day, 2 days after the election, with the rats beginning to abandon the ship, so to speak, although I must admit it was early yesterday morning when Rumsfeld decided to give up the ghost, that somebody called me about Gates, the guy that's being nominated to become the Secretary of Defense, and I said, what do you expect? The guy's a crony of Daddy Bush's. And, of course, by today, every known writer in the country was writing about that very issue. Dow Jones Industrial Average kicked off down 73 points today to end the session at 12,103. NASDAQ was down nearly 9 points to end the day at 2376, and the S&P was down 7.39 to end the day at 1379. The metals, on the other hand, did exactly the opposite. This time last night, gold was at $615 an ounce. As of right now, it is $633.55, a whopping gain on the day, folks, of 16, 17, whatever it happens to be, about 17 bucks. Silver end of the day at 1305, up 58 cents. It's been an interesting day in the markets. And what we are going to kind of cover tonight, I was sent an email from my granny today. And lo and behold, included was a column written by a gentleman who I have not spoken to for 6 or 7 years. In fact, what's really terrible is I'd forgotten all about him. The article is entitled, It's Deja Vu, All Over Again. All Over Again. It's going to be kind of a bumpy program with our commentary. We will pepper it with political commentary because much of what takes place in the political arena today, both the perceived and the real, is going to take us down a very interesting economic path that I think a good number of us may not wish to participate in. And if you think that a change in the leadership in the House, in the Senate, in the Congress, across the board, is going to make a difference, well, it will. But the question is, will it make a better difference, or is it going to go in the opposite direction? And that's partially what we're going to talk about on the Flip Side here tonight. Glad to have you here on this ninth day of November in the year of our Lord, 2006. My friend Kat and Fern are out there listening. Join the commentary and the speculation, etc. Moishe, I assume you're out there. Certainly Seymour and Sadie are out there listening, and a good number of other folks right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, of course, I got started a little soon, so my little quickie opening segment has got a way to go. No, it isn't. There's the music. Hey, stay with us, won't you, for the hour? Right here, I will see you on the flip side of the flip side.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Hey, Rick Adams here. Experience the incredible germ-killing power of oregano P73. It's scientifically proven. If you suffer from allergies, asthma, sinusitis, toenail fungus, athlete's foot, or any other condition, you need the immediate germ-killing power of oregano P73. Oregano P73 is an all-natural substance and even supports the immune system. For more info, call 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog. 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartabite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Yeah, one fine day. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to that one fine day, but I'm afraid it ain't going to be in the now. It's going to be in the hereafter. Well, my friends, here we go again. Other than welcome back to the flip side, Jeff Bennett filling in for Robbie Noel tonight. Let me share with you the incompetence of a president named Bush damages the Republican Party, alienates and discourages its base, and sets the stage for the triumphant collectivist Democrat Party to draw the wrong conclusions from their victory and force those conclusions upon us in the form of highly unpopular laws. Am I talking about today, 2006? No, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember 1992? You see, the blue blood Elder Bush, never comfortable in his Reagan clothing, won an invasion and lost the peace, abandoning good government principles by increasing both spending and taxes and provoking a third party. That third party accomplished one thing. It handed the presidency to one William Jefferson Clinton on a silver platter. Well, folks, if you liked Bush the Elder, you're going to love Bush the Lesser. After losing the golden moment of Baghdad's liberation to an incredible string of incompetencies, not bringing enough troops to the game, for starters, not reinforcing them, dismissing all the competent Baathists in the police, army, and the government, and not dismissing incompetence in his own administration, and then dancing the tune of a Shia government, which includes monsters like the anti-American Muqtada al-Sadr and other anti-Sunni death squad leaders, Bush finally decides, 3 years too late, to get rid of Rumsfeld after the election. Mind you, my friends, this is after it can do no good other than thoroughly dishearten our few friends in Iraq, like the Kurds, who have to be wondering today if Iraq will one day look like Saigon in 1975. And this concern It's not unwarranted. Under Democratic Party guidance, we Americans have a history of selling out our former allies. Under Democrat Party guidance. Truman sold out the Republic of China, Kennedy and the Free Cubans at the Bay of Pigs. The Democrat Congress's mandated strangulation of Cambodia and South Vietnam. And does anyone remember the Boland Amendment that attempted to deliver up Central America to the communists? And then there was the Elder Bush selling out the Shia insurgency in 1991. But oh, wait! Bush wasn't a Democrat, was he? Let's take a look here. Well, maybe he wasn't a Democrat in name. You see, after the Blue Blood Bush, the Elder blew his responsibilities and retired to Kennebunkport, the Clintonistas, although elected by a divided minority of the electorate, drew the conclusion that they had a mandate. Anybody remember what followed? Waco. The Ruby Ridge cover-up, gun bans, socialized medicine, for a few, all of which led to, among other things, the rise of neo-Nazism, the organization of non-racist gun owners into constitutional militia units, the rise of talk radio and the Internet as political media, and ultimately the so-called Republican Revolution of 1994. Of course, the first thing the Republicans did, especially after the Oklahoma City bombing, was to turn their backs on the gun owners that had put them there. The success of Clinton in lumping Rush Limbaugh, the militias, and neo-Nazi bombers like, Timothy McVeigh, together into the same anti-government stew was brilliant and predictable. But then on these broadcast airways for many years, there's been much question raised about how much Timothy McVeigh was used as a patsy, because he certainly didn't do it on his own, and Terry Nichols wasn't a hell of a lot of help. But then you see, after all of this, the congressional Republic rats never overlooked a chance to sell out their base once they got to power. And that base is many of you listening today. And when Bush the Lesser came to the White House, the fact that he was no conservative but just a Republican, Clinton, who knew how to manipulate his base while selling them out at the same time, made the 2006 election outcome oh so quite inevitable. That's right. I said Bush the Lesser was merely a Republican Clinton who knew how to manipulate his base. The only wonder is that all of this took so long. But it took until 2 days ago, one measure at least of Democratic incompetence. The sad fact, my friends, is that the Republic rats under Bush ultimately became more corrupt and hapless than the Democrats and the voters finally noticed. Ha ha. Now, I know there's some of you out there who may object to this commentary. You see, the Republicans have merely lost the House and Senate, but they certainly haven't lost the presidency. You know, we still have a chance in 08 to elect a true conservative Republican. No, you don't. Bush has clinched that as well. The Republican blood on the ground was not yet dry when El Presidente Jorge Bush declared that he would work with this new Congress to pass immigration reform. You know, amnestia. And now the northward flood begins again, with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegals trying to make it here for the big welfare bonanza of El Norte. Of course, the American people are still overwhelmingly anti-illegal immigration, but that won't matter. Bush has arranged, through clever incompetence, the perfect storm that wipes away our border, our security, and likely our national sovereignty. And what will be the result? Why, a third party, of course. Outraged at the sellout and unwilling as yet to just shoot the traitorous bastards of both parties who arranged it, something the founders would have had no difficulty in doing, people will rise up and join the new Perot to split the vote and elect another Clinton. Hillary this time, in 2008. How's that for a legacy, Mr. Bush? Just like your daddy, give it away to a Clinton. And, of course, Hillary, always the doctrinaire socialist, will make Bill look like an emasculated piker. For she always was the one with the cojones in the family. And so what will we have to look forward to, my friends? Well, the first thing they'll want to do is shut us up and hamper our communications by passing the fairness doctrine to shut down talk radio, and then look for various internet fair speech regulations, and then and only then, when our ability to communicate with each other and the electorate is crippled, will come the rest. So gun control, collectivist measures of one kind or another, higher taxes certainly, more intrusive regulations positively. They'll probably go after homeschoolers and even conservative churches. Homosexual rights will be enshrined, and pastors will begin to be arrested for criticizing sodomy. Well, we're all taking it in the... Never mind. JFK once observed that when peaceful change is made impossible, violent change is inevitable. The neo-Nazis and the Klan will begin to flourish off of the illegal immigration issue. Citizen militias will rise again, but then you see they never really did go away. And all this in the interest of defending our Second Amendment rights and to act as local defense forces against the wave of crime and interracial violence that will surely come from the clash of cultures attendant to unlimited illegal immigration. In time, beginning with Los Angeles, this country is going to look like the former Yugoslavia or present-day Baghdad, complete with death squads and mass graves. And that, my friends, will be the legacy of Bush the Lesser. As the great New York Yankee Yogi Berra once said, it's deja vu all over again. It's merely the son's newer world order, new and improved from the daddy's old new world order. I think this Sunday I may go down to the shooting range after church, just to make sure the battle rifle is still sighted in. I'll probably be needing it at some point in the near future. And that, too, is a Bush legacy. Just another case of deadly deja vu. Copy this date, Mike Vanderbo. And I mean, it has been a number of years since I've spoken with Mike. You tend to stay involved with the things you're involved with, whether it's your website, whether it's broadcasting, whether it's involved in hobbies or your family or marketing or fundraising for one notable reason or another. It becomes oh so interesting. You tend to lose track of people. And I don't like that. These are people that you don't like to lose track of yet. It's amazing. What am I trying to do here? They have not gone out yet. We're going to be going in just a few moments. No, we've got time here. Let's get moving forward. We're going to move in economics for a while. And Kat and Fern said they're there. It's amazing how you guys are always sitting down for dinner. No, two nights for a full hour. I'm going to enjoy it too. Don't kid yourself. This piece submitted to me late this afternoon that made a lot of sense. And for some of you, it may go over your head. I tend to not talk down to an audience. I tend to try to elevate that audience's knowledge base and ability to understand. And I will not change that at this point in time. There was a lecture given but days ago, October the 27th, entitled Imperialism, Enemy of Freedom. It was a special conference or summit that was put on by the Mises Institute. It's called Financing the Empire, written by Mark Thornton. And I think it combines a number of issues that are certainly well worth discussing, and I'm going to share this with you. Thornton begins by saying people poke fun at Austrian economists because we support the gold standard. They cannot understand why we would cling to this relic of history. They view it as going backwards in history to a less advanced state of affairs and to something that is primitive and unscientific. They ask us, how would we control this gold standard? After all, isn't the gold standard unstable? And the answer, of course, is yes. The gold standard is unstable. In the same sense that all markets are unstable, which is one reason why we support the gold standard, because it automatically makes all the necessary adjustments to the changes that occur in the real world. In any case, gold is much more stable than paper money. and the gyrations in the gold market reflect the unstable dollar, not any inherent instability in the gold market. If gold goes down tomorrow, it's because the dollar has momentarily become stronger. But as we shall see as this hour goes on and as time goes on, the dollar continues to weaken. And I can read any number of headlines out of today's newspapers and websites that continue to indicate an overall weakening dollar. A gold standard, my friends, also helps prevent governments from starting useless spending programs, something our government certainly is very good at doing. It creates expensive bureaucracies, running budget deficits, waging unnecessary wars. It can even help smooth out and even eliminate the business cycle. Economic science and history all point to the advantages of market-based money and the disadvantages of government-controlled systems. Well, at this point, our critics become somewhat convinced. They are convinced that we are all crackpots and that we have lost touch with reality and that we have a screw loose. My mother told me that at a very young age. We've not even mentioned at this point that a true gold standard makes the financing of imperialism nearly impossible. And nor have we hinted that Operation Iraqi Liberation, sometimes spelled O-I-L, that's oil, is just the latest operation in U.S. imperialism. Even our supply-side friends think we're crazy for advocating a gold and silver coin standard that's completely market-driven. They like gold, too, but they wish that the central bank would target the price of gold at, say, $500 an ounce. Robert Mundell, a recent Nobel laureate in economics, also recommends a targeted gold exchange system. But the problem with their suggestion is not gold, but the government control of money, or that which most people perceive to be money. You know, it's really just a variation on all the other so-called systems throughout history. It would not be stabilizing, as government central banks could still manipulate the money supply and the interest rates. Now, lags between policy changes and their ultimate impact on the gold market could create swings in the economy, and in fact cause chaos in credit markets. It also does not eliminate fractional reserve banking. That's what we live in right now. So that changes in the gold market would be amplified several times in both directions. We would still face the problems of inflation and business cycles. Ultimately, we would also face the twin problems of the system going into default and the potential that governments would simply renege on their promises, something they'd become very good at. You borrow from Social Security, but you don't necessarily pay it back. You see, the historical trail of broken promises and suspensions of convertibility and changing targets by government is too long and crowded to take such a system seriously. Bear with me just a moment. Got to close something down here because it's in the way. Murray Rothbard once showed that it was precisely this very gold exchange system that was the economic basis of American imperialism in the late 19th century. That's the 1800s, ladies and gentlemen. It was mainstream American economists who put forward the theory of capitalistic imperialism that helped justify the government's overseas adventures to open up foreign markets for American business. What did he mean by government's overseas adventures? Economic forays out into the world, or could they consider war a series of overseas adventures? All of these economists had one thing in common. They argued that America had too much capital, and that it was vital for the survival of advanced capitalism to forcibly open markets to American investment in goods. Economist Charles Conant wrote once that America must be prepared to use force if necessary. America, he argued, must not be held back by the abstract theories and extreme conclusions of our founding fathers, and that, quote, only with the firm hand of the responsible governing races can progress be conveyed to the tropical and undeveloped countries. Whoop-dee-doo. Talk about going over the head of the average person that listens. America must not be held back by theory and extreme conclusions of our founding fathers, he said. And that only with the firm hand of the responsible governing races can progress be conveyed to the tropical and undeveloped countries. The progress that we're taking to the tropicals and the undeveloped countries today is not so much progress, in my estimation. America, a country born in the crucible of revolution against British imperialism, would now, in the late 19th century, be transformed into an imperial power itself. Conant called for rewriting the Constitution even back then in order to centralize power and for maintaining of a large standing army and navy to pacify both the domestic population and our foreign subjects? At which time did America have foreign subjects? Oh, that's right. They're the ones that are supposed to be paying taxes, not the rest of us. Oh, that's right. Maybe we are now considered foreign subjects. Is that what they meant? Oh, no, we're the domestic population. You get the idea, folks. They don't know the answer. How are we expected to know the answer? Murray Rothbard once said, the leap into political imperialism by the United States in the late 1890s was accompanied by economic imperialism. And one of the keys to economic imperialism was monetary imperialism. In brief, the developed Western countries by this time were on the gold standard, while most of the third world nations were on the silver standard, or the button standard, or the coconut standard, or whatever. You see, what the new imperialists set out to do was to pressure or coerce third world countries to adopt not a genuine gold coin standard, but a newly conceived gold exchange or dollar standard. You see, the idea here was that foreign central banks would hold their reserves in dollars deposited in New York banks so that when our banks inflated, gold would not flow out of the country, as is the case with a genuine gold standard. And hence, the United States, back then, used political, economic, and military pressure to persuade our new possessions and other underdeveloped countries to join the dollar system. And by the time of the Panic of 1907, which, by the way, was used as a justification to create the Federal Reserve, the gold standard had been firmly shackled and had lost all the qualities that made it the foundation of capitalism, free trade, and prosperity. I have often told the story about what has been acknowledged, the first paper money system devised by one Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan created a monetary or a paper money from the bark of the Chinese mulberry tree, or some say elm, but mulberry is what history seems to prove out is right. And with all the people traveling across the deserts and the mountains, carrying all their gold and all their silver and all their jewels with them, Genghis Khan came up with this ingenious idea of giving them an IOU, explaining to them that if you deposit your gold with me, here's an IOU, and when you get across the desert, go to one of my member clubs, cash it in, and get your gold back for a fee, always for a fee. And that was the beginning of the eradication of the gold standard on a worldwide basis. The beginning of the fractional reserve system as we know it today. Stay with us. I'll be back on the flip side of this commercial break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio. The Republic Broadcasting Network brings you a more powerful voice than all the liberal media and all those announcing problems we face. It's the voice of Fearless Radio, screaming, take back control of your life. For the first time in the history of radio, you can join us for a classroom, in fact, a training camp of preparedness.
You already know the problems. They're not hard to figure out. But you and your family must act now with solutions. Bring a notebook and be on time to class every Sunday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Central. The Liberty Task Force will meet you there. These greatest experts in the country will teach you total self-reliance and independence. This is Steve Shank, Fearless Radio. Repeat this thought. If it is to be, it's up to me. But remember, freedom is never free.
Are you experiencing memory loss, mood swings, slowed reflexes? Well, North American Herb and Spices NeuroLoft helps make your mind and nerves work better. The powerful herbs and spices in NeuroLoft naturally support the function of the brain and nervous system. To maximize your mental clarity and productivity, call 800-243-5242 and try NeuroLoft today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Every Friday night there's a steady cloud of dust and leads back to a field filled with pickup trucks. Got old Hank cranking way up now. Got tooters in the back, tailgate's down. There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed. It's just country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
Welcome back, my friends, to the flip side of flip side. We're on the closing 26 or 27 minutes. Glad to have you here. Jeff Bennett sitting in for Robbie tonight, as I will be tomorrow evening as well. Commentary being shared with you tonight is from a lecture that was given about 10 days ago entitled Financing the Empire. And it becomes once again important to go back and review the historical aspects of how we got to where we are today, which certainly is nothing more than an indication of where we are probably going to be in another few years. We left off with discussion of the Panic of 1907, which of course was used as justification to create the Federal Reserve fractional banking system. The adoption of the Federal Reserve Central Bank, the breaking of the last linkage with gold, and the further dollarization of the world banking system has only enhanced the economic arm of U.S. imperialism. Nowadays, the U.S. Treasury can issue bonds in astronomical amounts, only to be absorbed seemingly harmlessly by the Fed and central banks around the world. For its part, the Fed pays for the bonds with a simple electronic bookkeeping entry in its accounts, and, well, no one's the wiser. Our author has taught college courses in money and banking where he would explain the details of Fed policy, the regulation of banking, the money expansion process at great length. And when he first began to teach the course, students would inevitably arrive at his office as final exams approached and claim that this just doesn't make sense. I'm not getting it. Or I must be missing something. And then our author would explain that in order to understand the system, you have to think of it as a scam. something that's criminal, something that normally would be against the law, but in this case, the government is allowing itself to break the law against counterfeiting. And our author would then remind his students about the categories of winners and losers from inflation, where the government or government-related classes benefit and everyone else loses. It was clearly one of the most shocking revelations they had ever experienced. He says he only wishes he had a scrapbook of photographs of their faces that he could pass around today. Only a market-based monetary system, my friends, eliminates the possibility of inflation. Market-based monetary system, in other words, a gold standard, is the only thing that can eliminate the possibility of inflation in business cycles, and this system also prevents government from embarking on a path of imperialism. Market-based money would consist of gold and silver coins, and money would be defined by the market as a certain weight of metal of a set level of purity, much the way our old double eagles and half-eagles, etc. were. That's right. St. Gaudens and Liberties and the old Indian gold pieces were all of a consistent, specific weight and measure and purity, just as many of the other gold coins that we make available through the Republic Trading Group, be it sovereigns or French francs or roosters or Italian lira or Greek drachma or whatever. Each and every one of those coins was struck with an internationally recognized purity and weight. And it worked. And under that kind of a circumstance, the supply of money could only be increased from new mining production or from diversions from other uses of the metal via the market mechanism. Banking, you see, would be based on a 100% reserve requirement on all demand deposits. All demand deposits and banknotes would be redeemable on demand, and all defaulters would be forced into immediate liquidation. Bank runs would check the behavior of errant banks, thus eliminating bank panics. Savings would be matched up with investment in a stable and harmonious way, and business cycles, properly understood, would cease to exist. Bank runs would check the behavior of errant banks, thus eliminating bank panics. Most importantly, market-based money in the form of a gold standard would force governments back towards the classic liberal society, meaning Jeffersonian, and prevent its antitheses, imperialism. It is central banking and fiat money that finances imperialism, or communism, or fascism, or Nazism, or any other kind of ism. And it's only a true gold standard that represents sound money. Ludwig von Mises once stressed, the meaning of the idea of sound money was devised as an instrument for the protection of civil liberties against despotic inroads on the part of governments. Ideologically, it belongs in the same class with political constitutions and bills of rights. You see, the idea of government money is appealing to those of limited intellect and to those who believe in the glory of the state. The government can simply print money to solve all the problems of society or to pay for anything required by the state. And if a stingy legislature fails to pass the necessary taxes, politicians and bureau rats can spend borrowed money that is effectively laundered by their central bankers. But they fail to recognize are both the economic problems of inflation and that such unshackled politicians spend for their own interests, including unnecessary wars and other imperialistic adventures. In fact, while Austrians emphasize the importance of sound money in the problems of inflation, we hold this last impact of sound money in the highest regard because blocking imperialism and despotism is essential for the survival of true liberalism. I would like to quote Schumpeter on this point, whoever Schumpeter is, both for his wide-ranging authority on the subject because he is considered one of the least doctrinaire in terms of policy among Austrian economists. And he's labeled by some, by the way, as a socialist. He said at present, and this was in the early 1950s, we are taught to look upon such a policy, an automatic gold standard, as wholly erroneous, as a sort of fetishism that's impervious to rational argument. We're also taught to discount all rational and all purely economic arguments that may actually be adduced in favor of it. But quite irrespective of these, there is only one point about the gold standard that would redeem it from the charge of foolishness, even in the absence of any purely economic advantage. An automatic gold currency is part and parcel of a laissez-faire and free trade economy, true free trade economy, not government-sanctioned so-called free trade. It links every nation's money rates and price levels with the money rates and price levels of all other nations that are on gold. It's extremely, you know, let me interrupt for a second. Let's talk about that very issue. I'm going to break away from this diatribe for just a moment. I received a call today from a prospective client. Actually, he's been a longtime client of mine. Back in Wisconsin. And one of the things that we've spoken of, let's go back 100 years ago for just a moment. Let's just not talk about American gold pieces. I want you to consider that the Austrians, the Belgians, the French, the Swiss, the Italian, and the Greek, and one Russian issue, were gold coins that were all considered to be fifth ounce. Now, how many different nations? Six, seven of them here? Austria, France, Switzerland, Switzerland, Greece, Italy. Yeah, six or seven nations here. Each one of them minted a gold coin that contained 0.1867 of an ounce of net pure gold. The overall weight of the coin was slightly over 0.2 of an ounce. 0.2 is one-fifth of a monetary unit. A full monetary unit of measure is 100. So a 20 franc is one-fifth of 100. 20 lira, same thing. 20 drachma. In the Russians' case, it was 7.5 ruble. But the fact of the matter is, you could take those 20 franc or 20 lira or 20 drachma from any one of those countries and cross the border into another country, and each and every coin would spend exactly the same. The weight was the same. The purity was the same. The only difference is which monarch's picture was stamped or likeness was stamped on the front of the gold piece and what coat of arms was on the back. Now, that's a very interesting and unusual international or global monetary product. Think about that. Six or seven different nations, all living within the same region, could cross back and forth amongst each other's borders and spend their respective money identically. There were no discounts because, sacre bleu, this is not French money, it is Italian, so therefore you get a 2% discount on its purchasing power. Nothing like that. Every gold coin spent the same way. An automatic gold currency is part and parcel of a laissez-faire free trade economy. It links every nation's money rates and price levels with the money rates and price levels of all the other nations that are on gold. Bingo! Son of a gun, it works. He continued, Schumpeter continued to go on to say, it is extremely sensitive to government expenditure and even to attitudes or policies that do not involve expenditures directly, for example, to foreign policy, to certain policies of taxation, and in general to precisely all those policies that violate the principles of economic liberalism. This is the reason why gold is so unpopular today around the world. Remember, this is a speech given in the early 1950s. And also why gold was so popular in the bourgeois era. Now I see the socialist side of the guy. It imposes restrictions on government and bureaucracies that are much more powerful than his parliamentary criticism. It's both the badge and the guarantee of bourgeois freedom. Of freedom, not simply of the bourgeois interests, but of freedom in the bourgeois sense. From this standpoint, a man may quite rationally fight for it, even if fully convinced of the validity of all that has ever been urged against it on economic grounds. The standpoint of, estarisme, and planning. A man may not less rationally condemn it, even if fully convinced of all that has ever been urged for it on economic grounds. You know, this guy must have been on the Alan Greenspan of his time, because I understood about six words out of that entire paragraph. To make it simple, even if fiat money was based on sound economic grounds, we should still have a gold standard to protect our freedom, while the status should still support fiat money, even if they're convinced that it leads to economic ruin. You see, if we could identify our impoverished, that way that comes out of there. That doesn't belong there. My friends, imperialism, which is what we're living under today, King George the Third, Fourth, Fifth, whatever this guy is, imperialism is inherently expensive, non-productive, unprofitable. Imperialism, therefore, cannot be justified with the idea that it helps the domestic population, because only a tiny minority of elites benefit. But it impoverishes the rest of society, you and I. The beneficiaries include government contractors, ego-crazed politicians, and mercantilist business enterprises. And once again, I share with you, in the case of oil, Operation Iraqi Liberation, oil. You see, if we could identify our impoverishment with imperialism, we would rise up and overthrow our rulers in the morning, if we had the stomach for it. But you see, central banks and fiat money blind us to our source of poverty. Government bonds are issued to pay for imperial adventures, and these bonds are then effectively laundered by central banks. Government obtains resources and our labor, and the average person has little idea that they have been swindled. The idea that imperialism can be justified because it helps our subjected people is ridiculous, and frankly, the height of self-delusion. Subjects only put up with foreign rule and interference in the face of their significant military disadvantages, and even then, some do fight to the death. All societies have their pluses and minuses. And to think that our society is all pluses while theirs is all minuses is the height of self-conceit. Especially when you're imposing your will with the point of a bayonet. Imposing certain aspects of this system that we live under, such as law, money, religion, politics, etc., on a different society is a recipe for disaster. We are over in Iraq trying to give them democracy, give them our system, our laws, our politics, and it is a recipe for disaster, as has been so aptly proven these past years. Because as our author continues, firstly, it will not work. Secondly, it will have unintended consequences within the new mixed system. And thirdly, it'll create opposition to your society's values and institutions across the board, and ignite reactionary movements against us, such as religious fundamentalism, and yes, even terrorism. And as we can now see, the results of British and American imperialism in the Middle East are in full bloom. Such problems could be avoided if we follow the ideas of Austrian economists, von Mises, Rothbard, and others. Central banks make imperialism possible by financing imperialistic adventures in such as a way to cloak the true cost. Joseph Salerno showed once in his article entitled "The Costs of War." War and the money machine, concealing the cost of war beneath the veil of inflation. He has shown and proven to us how and why the state uses inflation to pay for war. The Fed can hide the cost of war, but ultimately it does not reduce the cost of war. It increases it by first encouraging more war, more destruction, more imperialism, and secondly by Hey, I'm glad. Back on. A buddy of mine, Fred Ferndot, the second you dropped in, I got cut off. Don't do that. Where do we leave off here? The average citizen can only think that they have been slapped in the face by the invisible hand or run over by the invisible truck. Imposing the cost of monetary manipulation has hurt our economy. As oil confirms, Operation Iraqi Liberation, the U.S. government has no plans to end its imperial rampage. Oil had bipartisan support, and all the recent talk in Washington about withdrawals, timetables, and new strategies is just an election season salve to make sure the anti-war movement does not fester out of control. Now remember, this lecture was given 10 days before the election. It is now 2 days after the election, and I am telling you right now what the man says is true. All the talk in Washington about withdrawals and timetables and new strategies aren't going to change. I don't care who takes possession of the Congress early next year. All of this confirms that imperialism is the enemy of freedom and the champion of death, destruction, and deception. And finally, it also confirms that the Fed is the compliant financier of imperialism and will continue to be so. You see, the only way to stop this destructive juggernaut is to unmask imperialism as the enemy of freedom and peace and prosperity. The people must understand it is inherently bad for us and for those the government chooses to control. We must unmask the dirty little secret of imperialism, that it's only the powerful few elites who benefit from it. We must unmask the fact that they use the Federal Reserve to dupe the masses into supporting their imperialism. The Fed must be stopped. Gold coins must return as our monetary standard. The ideas of the Austrian economists must prevail. And the evil ideology, or idiotology as I've called it for years, of deception, death, and destruction that is imperialism must itself be destroyed by the force of good ideas. Obviously, one of the things that we suggest you do at Republic Trading Group, chiefly from Robbie and myself, is to urge that you return gold coins as a part of your monetary standard. It's not something you can spend in the street right now, and pray to God you'll never have to. Let me share with you what came out of the markets early this morning by one of the largest bullion distributors in the country. Gold has now broken through a minor resistance level of $630. The market rallied from 627 to a high of 635 after Reuters made this announcement that Chinese Central Bank Chief Zhao has a very clear plan to diversify reserves, which will include lots of instruments. In the past, there's been debate on whether or not China should add to or adjust their foreign reserves. As of August the 31st, gold only accounted for 1.3% of China's total foreign exchange reserves, which was worth, by the way, about $941 billion. Currently, China is the second largest holder of U.S. treasuries. They own approximately $340 billion of U.S. treasuries. That's how much money we would have to pay China to buy it back. After that news was reported this morning, U.S. treasuries declined. There's not been any specifics on how the reserves will be diversified, but the market is anticipating gold will be a very large portion of their total reserves. That must tell you something. If the Chinese are going to begin buying gold in a big way, maybe it's time you start doing it as well. For a private consultation with Robbie Noel or myself as to how gold and silver can protect your financial position, we invite you to call us at Republic Trading Group at 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898. In addition, if you'd like to talk to us about converting your old 401k or 403b or your IRA and rolling it over to contain gold and silver, give us a call. 1-800-691-7898 to reach the IRA division. Certainly dial 3 when you get our voicemail. And while you're on the phone with us, ask it about our special offering of the day, because prices are moving on a daily basis. I'm not surprised, and I think a lot of you aren't. Let's end this hour-long session with a little bit of laughter. Every year they come out with awards for the dumbest people on the face of the earth. It was announced this morning a 22-year-old man suffered internal injuries this morning after lighting a small firecracker which he had inserted into his buttocks. Well, this is no joke. The incident took place this past Sunday when Britain celebrated what they call Bonfire Night, traditionally marked with fireworks, to celebrate the Guy Fawkes gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament in the 17th century. Too bad they didn't succeed. The man suffered burns and other unspecified internal injuries in the incident in Sunderland, 275 miles north of London. Unbelievable. A caller phoned and said the victim was bleeding after the firecracker exploded. Several of the man's friends recorded the incident on mobile phones. Of course, the images were blurry. That's probably because they were laughing their rear ends off. The blurry images showed a man bent over with his pants down and a white flash as the firecracker exploded. By the way, the Times newspaper reported the man is a soldier who'd recently returned from Iraq. Boy, you think the guy that had enough of explosives over there. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Amazing grace. Oh, Lord. What's coming up on the schedule next? I don't have a schedule up in front of me, and I apologize. Rick Adams will be with us here in another hour. Certainly invite you to join Rick, be with him. Maybe Rick's coming up next. I don't know. I don't have a schedule in front of me. My apologies to you. Do stay with us. Once again, give Robbie or I a call. Robbie's not in at the present moment. 1-800-691-7898. We'll be glad to talk to you about your individual retirement accounts, how we can do some things to help you protect that in a very secure, safe manner. We make it easy, as painless as possible. There are some marvelous things going on in gold and silver, even though the markets have moved up. We will endeavor to make it worth your while to choose to do business with the Republic Trading Group. So I hope you'll make that phone call. 1-800-691-7898. What's on the hook for tomorrow night? Interesting commentary, as it were. And, of course, I can't get it open. We're going to discuss for most of the hour this thing that we're going to refer to as the Outlaw Empire. I guess to some degree it becomes a continuation of our discussion of imperialism and the empire tonight. So I hope you'll join me on the flip side tomorrow night for a special one-hour broadcast. Thanks for allowing me into your homes, your places of work, into your automobiles. On behalf of RBN, Robbie Noel and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Dean.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.